Yeah, apparently, yeah. You got Spartacus queued up, Al, before when we're done with this show.
And then Romeo and Juliet.
I'm going to run over to the SoFi. I'm going to do the Rams pregame. You're going to watch Spartacus and then do the Lakers. Like, you're all right.
When I hear this music, I'm ready to go to war. I'm ready to fight. I'm fighting with Mel Gibson.
Yeah. Has Mel Gibson made a movie since Braveheart? He's been missing for a while.
You're going to lose, bro.
I don't think he's been allowed to be around for a while.
Fighting with him, not against him. Or with him.
Yeah, you might want to fight against him. That may be a better way to go. I'm in studio today, right?
Yep.
Still looking around. I don't see my wine anywhere. I'm just letting
you
know.
Other studio. But that's not. That's the thing.
This is the thing with me and Slee the other day.
Jorge took your bottle of wine.
No, it was given to him.
Given to him.
Okay.
So the other bottle of wine is still there. If you go to the other studio, it's there.
Okay, but
just go to the studio. I want the one that you bought
for me. I don't want Taylor's rejects.
I want
what was intended for me. You specifically chose a varietal for me.
I screwed up the whole thing. That's the bottom line. I screwed up the whole thing, and then, you know, innocent bystanders were in the way after that.
All right, little late ass Slee, you ready?
Sure.
From none other than Steve Mason. Here we go. It says, if a cashier makes a mistake and gives you an extra $20 cash, what do you do? Do you keep it or do you tell the cashier she made a mistake? First of all, why is the cashier a female? That's why I want to, there's something going on here. But what do you do when the cashier gives you a little extra?
Kind of easy one. Just give it back. That's an easy one.
Do you? Okay. Let's say you'd probably notice 20. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But let's say you're in the car and for whatever reason you didn't notice it, and then you take your money out of your pocket and you're going back in, it's 20.
Okay, let me give you a good example. This happens sometimes, and typically I would say more times than not, any time I'm in this situation, it will play out in your favor. So if you go to a restaurant and you order six different things and they forgot one of the appetizers, let's say they didn't put one of the appetizers on there, if you tell them, hey, just heads up, we were looking at the receipt. You guys forgot to put these wings in or something along those lines. You know what typically happens?
Mm.
They don't charge you for the wings.
Yeah. Well, you didn't get them.
No. I'm saying you ordered the wings.
Yeah.
And they didn't. They just forgot to add it into the.
Oh, I got. Okay, I misunderstood. Gotcha.
They didn't charge you for it. And if you tell them, like, hey, heads up, you guys forgot to put the wings on there, more times than not, then they probably won't charge you for the wing. So give back the 20. It will come around.
It almost always does. I'm a big believer in karma, right? And it's the little ones. The big ones are easy. So to me, the big ones are easy. Like you brought up the one the other day about if Wells Fargo, Bank of America, wherever you do your banking, all of a sudden you look at your account.
Wells Fargo, going after them. That one, I'm not. There's certain institutions.
You've got beef with Wells Fargo. I like that. We're going to get into that. If they made a $10,000 error, that's coming back. They're getting their money back, right? That's going to happen. That's the easy one. The little ones, the $5, the $10, those are the ones you really got to return, because that's just the universe testing you. Are you a bad guy or not? Are you a good guy or not? Are you going to take advantage of someone else's mistake, or are you just going to keep it moving and say, oh, I guess today's my lucky day? That's the universe giving you a little quiz, Slee.
It's true. No, I agree with you. It's a good one there by Mace.
ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. How is this possible? And by this, I mean it's January 17th, and the Lakers are under 500, and we're looking at the standings.
Yep.
They are far closer to being out of the playoffs than they are to the top of the playoff picture. And Lindsay and you and I and Laura were talking about this morning. When she said it, I'm like, no. They're going to make the playoffs because the bottom half of the Western Conference is really terrible. But you look at what the schedule has waiting for them in the second half of the season, Slee, it's not totally – if they continue to play like they have, by the way, 133, 125, 127, those are how many points they've given up in their last three games. If that is any sort of –
They gave up 73 in the first half.
It was a joke. And half of those were dunks and layups.
Mm-hmm.
It was ridiculous. So you put all these things together, it really is a real question. Could never mind home court, any of that stuff. Could they miss? That's insane to even ask.
Okay, I guess maybe this is the better question. Not are the Lakers going to miss the playoffs or make the playoffs. Is the better question, do we think, you know, Anthony Davis, when he does return, savior is not the right word. Because if we say, well, is AD going to be the savior for the Lakers? I don't think anybody's having any conversation about them being, you know, in the mix of the best teams in the NBA. It's more about, does AD just kind of calm the waters down? Do you start playing now a little bit better than 500 basketball, because right now they're in a free fall. When you've lost three games in a row, and like you just said, they're giving up basically 127 points a game if you average out these last three games.
120 in the month of January.
The four games they won in a row, Trav, were against four teams well below 500.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's a website, and when Lindsay brought this up, I kind of thought, okay, let me go take a look at this. And I forgot that they have websites to do this. Remaining schedule, you know, the strength of schedule. Every single day you play a game, this website updates,
yeah.
And it says, okay, this is where you fall into play. Milwaukee has the toughest schedule left in the NBA. New York is right after that, and then the Lakers fall at number three. And the reason why, if you look at the standings right now, the Lakers are sitting, I want to say, let me just point this out real quick. I want to make sure I get it right. They're eighth or seventh. They're sitting in eighth place, okay? Mm-hmm. So they're eighth place in the Western Conference. The Lakers, the teams behind them, Minnesota Timberwolves are, I want to say, a half a game in front of them. They have the 14th hardest schedule the rest of the way. Lakers have the third. So I'm just looking at teams that are kind of in the mix with the Lakers. Clippers, who are sitting at ninth place right now in the West, have the eighth toughest schedule left. And Clippers' biggest issue is, are they going to be healthy or not? And
right.
That's going to tell the story of what happens to the Clippers. So you start looking at some of these teams in front of them. Not a lot of these teams are in this top 15 of toughest schedules remaining. Minnesota's 14th. You start looking at Dallas, they're 19th. You start looking at other teams. Denver, who's right in front of the Lakers, have the 24th hardest schedule the rest of the way. Lakers are one of kind of the outliers here, as the schedule's only going to get more difficult. And the way that they're playing basketball right now, maybe Lindsay's onto something here, and I never thought this was a possibility at all.
I didn't either. But so with all that, okay, so let's put all these things together, right?
Yep.
Let's put the two things we've talked about with the Lakers together right now, which is, they stopped playing hard, which is a really bad sign, right? Okay,
worse than any loss you could think of.
No question about it.
Your squad's not playing as hard as the other team.
Okay, so you're not playing hard, and your schedule is about to get much harder while your opponent's schedule is about to get a little bit easier, right? So if anything, the Lakers should be a little bit above where they're going to land because they've played a pretty soft schedule for the most part. So you look at it where they are right now, where they're in eighth place, you figure they're going to land a little bit lower than that because they're getting into the meat of their schedule. Fact of the matter is they haven't beaten a good team all year. Not once. Mm-hmm. They have not beaten one good team all year.
You're right. They don't have a signature win.
No.
Nothing.
Which,
nothing
what have we got, 40-some-odd games into the season, you should have beaten a good team at some. If you're a good team, you're going to beat one good team. Bad teams beat good teams. They have not beat a good team. So all these games are coming up. Why not hit the button now? Why not hit the button, change the coach, make a trade? Because we've said it a million times. They're all in. You are all in every season as long as LeBron James is here. Why not hit? Because this clearly doesn't work. This is not a winning combination. Anthony Davis, will he help? Yeah. But is it going to just turn everything upside down? No, it's not. Why not hit the button? Why not just go out there, make a coaching change, make a trade? Because why not?
So I think this is the question. You mentioned Anthony Davis, and I actually want to ask you this question about AD. When AD does come back, because it's not like Anthony Davis was Giannis when he was playing earlier. It's not like he was Joel Embiid. It's not like he was Jokic. It's not like he was, even if you want to throw in, I don't think of another big man that's had a good, Karl Anthony Towns. Like,
mm-hmm.
He is not, I know his numbers will represent
it's
one thing,
different.
But he wasn't dominating games the way that you would just expect Anthony Davis from a year and a half ago or even a year ago, whatever the case is. So when AD does come back, what do you think happens with this team? Because if they are now – okay, they're 21-22 now. If he comes back, let's say, at the end of this six-game road trip, Lakers have two more at home and then they go on a six-game road trip. Are they going to go 4-4 in this road trip without Anthony Davis?
No.
Of course not. They're not. That's not going to happen just based upon the way they're playing. Let's say they go 3-5. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. They beat Indiana, they beat Orlando, and they beat Atlanta. Those are the three games they have against teams that are below 500.
Mm-hmm.
That means by the time Anthony Davis comes back, you're three games below 500, and you're about 60% plus of the season through. Lakers last season, I think they ended up winning 42 games last year to lock up the number 7 spot. You were 12 games over 500 to lock up that number 7 spot. So how much do you think Anthony Davis is going to change things for the Lakers, because I don't disagree with what you're saying. What you're saying is, if you're already all in, why, you know, you got to.
You can't get chips more are already, all in. You're,
the chips
you're all
are already in.
In
the
it doesn't
center.
Work.
You're not folding when people are checking, right? Like, that's right. That's not how it works. But that's why I asked the question is, how much do you think AD is going to change the tide?
Very, very little.
That's not good.
Well, is there any evidence to the contrary? Right? Because, look, I get it. It's the weirdest thing, Al. Take me through this. Anthony Davis is a terrific NBA player. Anthony Davis' statistics are pretty good this year. Anthony Davis had virtually no positive impact on the Lakers while he was here. It doesn't add up. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't add up.
That because
it doesn't add up.
When he was here, they weren't. It's not like they were really good and he left and it's like, okay, we got to keep our heads above water, which is what we were saying last year. They were average with him. They're average without him. And quite frankly, a little bit below average in both of those cases. So I'd have to be out of my mind. I could be optimistic, but the idea of Anthony didn't. Why? It hasn't happened. Hit the button. I said this a couple of days ago when halfway point, let's restart, hit the button, because the halfway point, they've actually gotten worse. They've been worse after the halfway point than they were at the beginning. Hit the damn button. Let's do a change on the coaching staff. Let's do a change with some of the players. Obviously, LeBron, AD, and Russell Westbrook aren't going anywhere. That's not the point. Shuffle the remaining cards and see what you get, and maybe you get lucky.
I think they will shuffle the remaining cards. Listen, the Vogel one's interesting. I mean, that's the one piece that I know I get a lot of that from post-game shows and doing anything Laker content related. Look, you can't – at the end of the day, when you have the expectations that the Lakers have and you're so far below those – forget Rams' expectations and you lose a game to the 49ers going into the playoffs. They're still 12-5. They still have a home game at SoFi. They still have – now, if they lose this game, maybe
totally
that conversation
different.
Changes. This is completely different. Yeah. This is – you walked into the season – and you were the Packers, you're supposed to be the Packers, and you ended up being the Chargers. You didn't, you know, like, it's that big of a difference. That's the part that I think is toughest to swallow.
ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. So the Rams road back to SoFi for the Super Bowl and to being LA's team, Slee, a little bit easier today than it was yesterday. That's next. It's Travis Slee, 710.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I'm pretty excited. I've had way more caffeine than I typically do because it's going to be a long day.
How many are you in so far?
Well, I had a cup of coffee as I drove in this morning.
Yep.
I got a iced Americano from Starbucks as I started here today.
Sure.
I've already had an entire green tea that I've taken down because I was cold and I wanted to warm up. I'm going to hit the espresso machine at SoFi. I may just go back from Hollywood Park Casino right over here. Well, I'm assuming it's the playoffs. They probably you got to tighten up for the playoffs, Al. I'm assuming there's going to be good food. There's going to be lots of drink options. The espresso machine's going to be working. Matthew Stafford isn't going to throw interceptions. There's a lot of things going on.
Forget like the whole game, all that stuff. That's fine. When you get to SoFi, just tell me if the machine is working or not, because it's been at least 3 weeks.
At least. Probably longer. Probably closer to 5.
Stan.
Yeah. Come on.
Stan.
They did supplement nicely with the canned Starbucks nitros, which are at the top of the By the way, as far as canned coffee drinks go, that's number one in the rankings right now. They're fantastic.
What do you do like in a situation like that? Like, is it stan.cronky at whatever it is? Like,
at gmail.com. I think that's what it is.
Just
send that in there and see what comes back. I'm sure.
Do you tell them you know what? The place looks awesome. It looks really great on TV, but man, the espresso machine. Like I'm curious if curious what you do in that situation.
Tell me if I'm asking too much here.
You are.
I think I probably am too. I don't need perfection. Mm-hmm. I don't need everybody to do everything exactly right every time. Human beings make mistakes, and that's part of life, right? Keep it moving. Try to do better the next time. I get it. Is it too much to ask, Al, that the guys that – I don't know. Let me just think of something here off the top of my head. Let's say, for instance, you're going to officiate an NFL football game. Yep. Okay, you're in charge of administering the rules to the game. Mm-hmm. Okay? Is it too much to ask that you know the rules?
Is it too much to ask
that if you are the person in charge of administering the rules, that you know the rules? Because the Raiders are home right now because the officiating crew in the Raider Cincinnati game didn't know the rules. Or if they did, they just decided to ignore them. Because the Bengals got a touchdown that should not have been a touchdown because they blew the whistle in the middle of the play and everybody stopped playing except for Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. How in the world did that – I'm not a fire the referees. I'm not the refs hosed this guy. That's not my deal.
Yeah.
That is an inexcusable mistake to be an official and not properly administer the rules. It's unforgivable.
Okay. Couple things here. First of all, there are certain things that you can't review. When you blow a whistle,
it's over.
The play is dead.
It's over.
So if you're that referee in that position, by the way, Joe Burrow's foot wasn't even close to the sideline.
Thank you.
So,
keep going.
And the reason why I mention that is what you can do is eventually replay, hey, you know what, his foot was out of bounds or something along those lines. You can review it in that situation. The one thing you cannot do is you can't blow the whistle. You can't blow the play dead. You blow a whistle, that's it. The ball stops right there. That's it. The play is dead in that situation.
The ball was in the air, Al. The ball was flying through the air, clear as a bell on TV.
Yep.
The whistle blew. Mike Tirico, who was calling the game, alone.
Everybody stopped.
Alone, as far as I can tell. Drew Brees was there. I think he was just hanging out. I don't think he was actually doing anything, but that's a tie.
Brees had a conference call. In the middle of the game.
Hey, Mike, you mind if I sit next to you for this? So you do everything. Yeah, I won't chime in with anything game related, but I'm
Brees,
just going to sit here.
Say something.
Or say, guys, the second the whistle blows, the play is dead. Because the Chargers, why do I keep saying the Chargers? The Bengals, half the team stopped playing. All of the Raiders stopped playing. The guy that caught the touchdown pass was just kind of, it's coming to me. I might as well catch it. He didn't start celebrating. Everybody knew it wasn't a play, and the referees went, you know what? You know what we should do? Just give it to him.
Well,
it was an accident. We didn't mean to blow the wrestle. It's the dumbest thing I've seen in quite some time.
By the way, are you surprised by that where when referees, it could be in the NBA, it could be in the NFL, whatever the case is, Major League Baseball, when they make a mistake, instead of just owning up, hey, that's on us. We made a mistake. That play was actually supposed to be dead. They don't do it, Trev. They almost rarely ever do that. And even if, let's just say hypothetically, which, by the way, you know.
But Al, that's not what happened.
You know things are bad when the refs that worked that game aren't expected to work the rest of the playoffs.
Right. Well, they very quickly said, yeah, we're done with those guys, which is the right thing to do. But it's not like they didn't admit that they made a mistake. That it was. The whistle got blown. They'd ignored it. The guy that was on
mistake would have been, I blew the whistle.
Right.
That was on me.
That's on
and
me.
They got
Play's
together
dead.
For a quick second, and they said, guys, the play is dead.
Right.
He blew the whistle. It's over. That down is.
The mistake is I blew the whistle before I should have. That's my fault, and I blew it. Not, let it go.
No.
It was a disaster along the way. I want to read one of these tweets real quick, Al.
I hate that, too, by the way, that's the conversation that you're having. And Bengals, let me just use as an example, Raiders did a great job coming back and then scoring on that drive before halftime, but they lose a game by 7, and you know, obviously that's a critical
point. I'm not going to say it cost them the game, but it certainly changed the game. It changed
sure.
the game
of course
dramatically along the way. I'm getting this a couple of different places. I want to read this and respond to this. This is from Bob Jackson on Twitter. You can send him to Al, at Alan Slew. You can send him to me, at Travis Rogers. And Bob writes, to suggest Vogel is the issue is too convenient. It's not coaching. It goes higher than this. The front office decides to play 2K, build a roster annually, and expect said coach to infuse his system to a player, cough, cough, Russ, to comply. Nope. Okay. It's not what I'm saying. I need you all to pay attention. This is not complicated, but it's nuanced, okay? I'm not saying that the reason the Lakers are under 500, that's why Frank Vogel needs to go. That the Lakers have a bad mix and can't score enough points, can't defend enough. That's not why I'm saying Frank Vogel needs to go. I'm saying Frank Vogel needs to go for an entirely different reason. It's not his fault the roster is what it is. It's not his fault that Anthony Davis is hurt. It's not his fault that none of these things seem to fit well together. That none of that is his fault. What is his fault and what is his problem is that they're not listening. that they've tuned it out, that they've stopped competing at a high level. When Magic Johnson calls you out, when Russell Westbrook says, yeah, we didn't play as hard as we need to, when Dwight Howard says, yeah, we just need to come back and play hard, that's a problem. That means they're not listening to the coach. That's not the rotations are bad. That's not end-of-game plays, Al. When they stop competing for the coach, whether it's his problem or not, it's over. It's time to move on.
Let's play this real quick because I think for those who – I know you were reading the tweet and it kind of took us back to that conversation – let's take a quick listen to Russ. This is Russ post-game, and this is why the conversation's coming up. First of all, if you were watching the game, you know what I'm talking about because there were plenty of moments in the game where the Lakers' body language was, yeah, we're good. They threw a couple punches at us. We're going to go ahead and stop punching. Take a listen to Russ about how hard the Lakers are playing versus other teams.
We gotta make a decision on if we just got to play hard. Sometimes the schemes and how you play doesn't really matter. You got to just play hard. Sometimes teams are just playing harder than us, simple as that. Even when we're winning, we get up a lot of points. But now it's showing, especially when we lose games. And teams are just putting their hand down going, and we got to do a better job of defending.
Al?
I don't think they're going to I don't think a change is coming. Let me put it that way. I don't think it's coming because I think they're going to wait till AD comes back. And then I think make a decision from there. I really do. I think that he's obviously a big enough piece, whether he's having the season we want him to have or not. He's a big enough piece to the franchise where they're going to give him that leeway of, well, AD's got to come back and see what happens. But we just kind of listed, you know, Trav, I was doing the schedule, how much tougher it's going to get for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. They still got two against the Suns, three against the Warriors, three against the Jazz, one against Brooklyn, one against Miami, one in Milwaukee. All three of those games are going to be on the road.
Good luck.
And let me give an example tonight with the Jazz. Jazz are a good basketball team. They went through a tough stretch, but that's because Gobert was out, health and safety protocols. He came back yesterday. They blew out Denver in Denver. And that's the same Denver team that blew out the Lakers on Saturday.
Yeah, so. Anthony Davis, 133, 125, 127. I mean, I know he's a good defender. It's not going to change anything. You're at that point where you're at the why the hell not point. Number one, they're not playing hard. Number two, why the hell not? That's a bad combination of events. Let's try.
By the way, if AD can't change anything, then that's a much bigger problem than just this year.
Yeah, well, that's a different conversation altogether.
If AD can't have an impact, if he can't have an impact the rest of the way, then you're right. That's a much bigger problem down the road.
Studio City and Noah. Noah, you are on with Trav and Slee. What's going on, Noah?
Hey, guys. What isn't going on? My God. I would love to talk about Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or all the great football play that was going on. I need to address something real quick first before I get to my Laker take, if you don't mind. I got to tell you, I think you guys are on the wrong side of the movie As Good As It Gets.
Ugh.
Now, look. Well, hold on. If you're looking for a Jason Bourne movie, of course this won't satisfy you. But that is a really well-written movie. It won 600 Academy Awards. There's so many iconic Jack Nicholson lines in there. The moment where Greg Kinnear looks at him and says, "Man, I really love you." And Nicholson looks at him and goes, "Buddy, if that did it for me, I'd be the luckiest guy in the world." Hashtag shameless Jack Nicholson plug. It's a good movie, so I would say.
I think the issue was the mix of movies that I did.
No, it was the mix of movies and that. Look, Noah, you know more about films than I do. I don't, but I'm not looking for structure or screenplay.
Wasn't that bad, Trav?
I don't want it, feelings.
It might not be your cup of tea.
Leave your feelings to yourself.
This guy. Leave your feelings to yourself. I love it.
It's what makes me a great father and husband. Keep your feelings to yourself. Okay,
you want to talk about it? Go talk to the wall.
I got my own problems. I don't need to hear about yours. You keep your feelings to yourself.
No. What's the other take on the Lakers side? You said.
Well, while Travis and I clearly differ on this movie, I'm sorry about injecting feelings into this, but we are definitely on the same page of the Lakers. It is absolutely. It's not only time to pull the plug. It's time to pull the plug on this season. They need to get out from the LaRusso contract, and if someone would offer them a year's supply of chalupas, they should take it.
Well, that's
because
not a
this
bad deal.
Problem's
deal.
Not going to get any better. The whole team needs to be reworked and readjusted, but it's not for this year. You can't salvage this year. AD coming back, what, maybe we'll be a 500 club? Maybe we'll squeak into the play-in tournament and then get run by Utah in four games? What's the point? Like you said, you see a donkey at a poker table some nights, and they're just rebuying and rebuying and rebuying. They don't have the sense to get up, and everyone else is just licking their chops going, please don't let this guy come to his senses. That's what the Lakers are doing. If they think they're going to try to salvage a 500 season, what's the point? You said they're all in for a championship. And it's not going to happen this year.
No,
so
I want to get in here.
There's
a lot of good stuff here, and I want to. You can't give up on the season, and it's very simple. Everything you said is true. Okay, full stop. You have LeBron James on the team. You can't punt. You have to try, because if you get into best of seven, and I got LeBron James, and he plays the way he has, and I get just a smidge from somebody else, I got a shot. So you can't punt. As long as LeBron's here, punting is not an option. You got to go for it. It might be 4th and 25, but you got to go for it. You can't punt this thing away. LeBron James is here. The clock is ticking. He's still at a great spot in his career.
And Russ isn't going anywhere this year.
No, you have to go for it. As much as I would like to see them punt, and it's probably the right thing to do, you can't do it with LeBron. Factor Cap coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Lindsay, what do you have for us today? Facts, caps, or both?
Both. Definitely both.
All right.
So I'll start with this one. People spent more time on mobile devices than ever before in 2021, according to this new report from App Annie, which is an app analytics company, I guess. On average, Americans spent a third of their waking hours on their phones. So, Travis, factor cap, you cannot go more than an hour without looking at your phone.
Oh, boy. It's fact. I'm deeply embarrassed by the fact that it is a cap, because here, you know what the worst, you know what I hate about the iPhone? The iPhone has changed everybody's life, but the very single worst feature on that, and I don't even know where it is, but it pops up on my screen every once in a while. You've spent 22% more on your phone this week than you did last week. I hate that.
22% doing nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, you've spent 11 hours staring at this website. It's like, what in the world am I doing with my life? I wish I were a better person. I wish I had better habits. I exercise more. I eat better. But this little stupid thing that I carry in my hand everywhere I go, every second of the day, it is eating me alive, and I can't stop it. So it's a fact.
I'm going to go cap on this one. Do I do it all the time? I can, but I can easily. Let me see if I can term this the right way. If I forget my phone in the car, Lindsay, I'm lazy enough to where I let it sit there for a couple hours. Okay, I'm lazy enough to say, I'm not going to go get my phone.
I feel like I'm missing my right arm. I don't know what to do.
I'm with you, and I know. And there are times, like when I went on this this 14-hour streaming movies this weekend, right?
Right.
Do I really need to be watching the movie and scrolling through Twitter? Bro, watch the movie.
Yes, I do.
Do I really need to go on Instagram?
That's a little different.
But Lindsay, that's what I do sometimes. That's my point, is like a lot of times when I'm on there, I'm getting – it's not like I'm doing anything. It's almost just like mindless. It's just you're completely trained.
Well, scrolling is what they call it.
What if I got a text from one of my friends saying Drew Brees sucks and I missed it? Now what am I supposed to do?
Absolutely.
These are the things that I feel like need to be responded to in real time. And if I'm not part of the conversation, now what?
But I can go. Yesterday, went out to dinner, didn't take my phone. There's certain times where I'm like, all right, let's just take a quick little break here, put that over to the side, and we'll be okay. Believe it or not, I come back to my phone, and not much was missed.
Are you connected to it, Lindsay?
Yes, yeah. 100%. Yeah. But I mean, like, when I go out to dinner with my family, because we're rarely all together in the same place at the same time, maybe happens like once a year. Mm-hmm. We all agree to like put our phones away, except, you know, we got to take like our family photo.
You should all agree to scroll Instagram at the same time.
You
want to see what's going on
yesterday?
That's how it is.
In the middle of dinner, I asked my girl, I'm like, hey, can I just see your phone for a quick second? Just take a quick little update on that Pittsburgh KC game. So I used her phone to check the score.
There you go.
See, so you find ways around it.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, so next one. I started listening to this podcast over the weekend, and it's probably the craziest catfishing scheme like that's ever happened.
Manti Te'o? So,
No, not that. This is crazy. So it's called Sweet Bobby, and it's about this woman who basically spent like 10 years thinking that she was talking online with this doctor named Bobby, and she even spent some of those years in an actual like romantic relationship with this fake Bobby. And now the woman in the story wants catfishing to be taken more seriously and is trying to create awareness and come up with some legal ways where it could be made a criminal offense. So people who catfish should face some kind of legal repercussions. Alan, is this fact or cap?
I don't think I know enough about this. I don't know how it happens. I don't think I understand. If you know somebody for a year and you've never talked to them or like actually seen that person or video or something along those lines, Lindsay, how do you get trapped into something for years? Like, how does that happen? Like, I don't understand.
Well, you'll
how...
have to listen to this podcast. To make a long story short, like,
wouldn't they get suspicious and just say, like,
they did, but every time they got suspicious, there was
guys,
another
guys,
profile in person and
guys,
thing. Like, oh, it's crazy. The story's insane.
Guys,
is that
okay,
more on the listen, person?
I understand that not everybody is the same. And not everybody has the same, shall we say, needs as everyone else. Okay? What I'm telling you is, if you are like the vast majority of people and you are in a relationship with this person, only you've never seen them, touched them, held their hand, embraced them, kissed them, other things, at some point you're like, oh, this is a scam. And if you don't pick up on that that's a scam after a day or a week, that's on you. That's not on the catfishing person. They're running it some stupid game for God knows why. But if you have, or you're in a relationship and you haven't physically seen that person, their face, touched their, held their hand, embraced them, something's going on.
Yeah.
I'm just telling
Wait,
you,
what
that's
if you
one
have?
Of those things.
What if you have met this person in these pictures and it turns out that
who
it's
is the
not
person?
Well, like I said, long story short, this
then you're in
person
love with the other person.
Made they did meet somebody in person, and this person, this fake person, continued on this relationship with her for years. And then that person, when she met him again in real life, like he had no clue who she was.
Do you know what this makes me think of? Do you ever get like on Instagram, you'll get a post that says somebody will send a random message and say, "Hey, just want to let you know, making $5,000 a month doing this. Just click here." I've never clicked on them. You know, yeah.
It's the Nigerian prince of internet relationships, right? It's that, hey, listen, I've got nothing but gold bricks in my garage, only I forgot the code. But if you send me your credit card number, I'll send you a few gold bricks. And dear Bobby, I love you. Let's get married, but let's never meet. It's on
Lindsay,
you.
Is the
sorry.
Podcast interesting?
Yeah, it's really good. And it's interesting because I went into it thinking the same thing as you guys. Like, how can you possibly be that stupid? Or you see these people on Dr. Phil that are like, you know, these women that are, you know, my mom's age, and they're supposedly dating this guy that lives in the UK, and they send him all this money. Like, no, it's not one of those situations. Like, it's much. That's why I said it's so crazy. But,
okay.
Because
that'd be interesting. It'd be an interesting podcast to listen to.
What you're saying, Lindsay, if some other man presented himself as Bobby, is that the name, right? As Bobby,
yes.
And had a physical interaction with this woman, whether it was sexual,
yes.
I'm just saying, you have lunch together, right? Like in person, then that's fraud. That's different than being catfished. That's you're presenting yourself as one thing when you're not another person. That's identity theft, right? I don't know exactly what the crime is.
Yeah.
But if you are just, hey, listen, my internet's down again today. Can we just talk on the phone or let's meet for lunch? Flat tire for the 38th time in a row. I'm not going to be able to make it. That's on you.
I think it should be a crime though, because think about the person whose photo you're stealing and stuff. Like, what about that person? Mm. You know, like they're getting roped into this and it's like an identity theft situation.
I need the podcast. I need to take a listen to this.
It's called Sweet Bobby. Listen to it. It's crazy.
Okay. All right.
It came out again, Lindsay. Babby. The Midwest. I catch Bobby. It on. I think it's the vowels. They're the Bobby, the calves. I think those are the ones that come out
like that. You're exaggerating.
Just a little bit. We've talked about this before. You said when you have a couple of drinks, it comes out more so. But I'm noticing it on some of the flat vowels, Bobby and calves.
No, definitely not.
You got one more for us?
Yes. So former Miss Universe Olivia Culpo was recently threatened by American Airlines to, quote, cover up before her flight to Cabo, or the airline wasn't going to let her on the plane. Olivia's sister posted about it on Instagram, showing Olivia wearing a long black cardigan, a sports bra, and biker shorts. She said she thought her sister looked cute and noted that another passenger wearing a similar top was not asked to cover up. So, want to ask you guys. People should not be allowed to wear crop tops and or biker shorts on planes. Travis, is this fact or cap?
I think I'm going to be an old man here for a second. I think that's fact. Like, can we just agree that we're not going to the gym when we get on an airplane? Like, I'm all for being comfortable. Like, if you want to wear sweats, cool. If you want to wear, like, a nice baggy T-shirt and a hoodie, I'm not saying we got to go back to the 60s where we all wore hats and suits. We don't have to go back to that, okay? I don't need Don Draper to be on every flight. All right, that's fine. But if you look like you're just rolled out of bed and you're in your sports bra or your shorts or whatever, can we just do like the next step beyond that? That's all I'm asking for. If you're half undressed on an airplane or you look like you just came from the gym, I feel like that's maybe one step short of airplane attire.
Pretty sure, what is it, American Airlines?
Yes.
Last thing I'm worried about is what somebody is wearing on the plane. Can we just do this? You know, Trav, we've talked about just having – there's kind of some unwritten rules on a plane. How about don't bring a burrito in and just eat it right next to me when we're going out of plane?
Tuna
right?
sandwich?
Right, that's way more sandwich. Offensive than somebody wearing 100%. A sports
bra. No, that's worse. 100%. That's worse.
I would go with I don't know, little things. Like if you're – if I'm sitting, remember that flight I took back from Seattle, and I was in the last row, and I could open the restroom door from sitting down. That's where I was sitting. Why don't you come out of the restroom? Just close the door real quick.
You should
close it so I don't have to close it every time. I'm much more worried about that than I am somebody wearing whatever they're wearing. I actually kind of think American Airlines. You're going to tell somebody what they can and they cannot wear. I'm on the opposite side.
You should have been like a restroom attendant and offered mints and cologne as people were going in and out of the men's room
tips,
in that situation.
Bro.
Right, get a couple of bucks coming in and out. Can I offer you a towel, sir? Hey, ma'am. We'd like
I
to
just
freshen
spray
up a little
cologne
bit. A little...
no matter what. Whether you ask or not, everybody who comes out is just one spray of cologne.
I got a little scope here, ma'am. Would
by the way, like... she's not even dressed crazy at all.
No,
I'm looking at what she's wearing.
It's not. If you're telling me a cardigan, a sports bra, and biker shorts, fine. It's just airplanes in general should not look like your living room. Let's just go one step beyond.
I feel
that
offended right now.
Why?
Somebody walking barefoot from their seat
yes.
to the bathroom.
Oh, no, that's nasty.
That's worse.
That's
of course it is. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's other
but
things that are worse
it.
Than this.
Yeah.
If
way
I can
worse.
See your toenails, you don't have the right shoes on.
Yeah, that's
okay,
nasty.
That's a good rule of thumb. If I can see your toenails, I'm going to need you to put on a different pair of shoes. I think can we all agree on that at least?
Yes.
All right. That sounds like we've landed on that. The road to SoFi and the Super Bowl, a little bit easier as of yesterday for the Rams. That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. I'm excited to not only see what's going to happen tonight at SoFi Stadium. I'm excited not to see tonight if the Lakers can find a way to hold somebody under 140 points.
Mm-hmm.
Well, espresso machine, too. I'm kind of curious what tomorrow's going to be like. It's a nice long day for the two of us. I'm fired up to see tomorrow. Maybe a little punchy, a little sleep deprived. That always leads to good things. You should watch a couple more movies tonight, too.
They have tonight tip off is 7:30. They got 2 7:30s in a row. And then this kind of actually be a stretch between here and the All-Star break. Once you get to All-Star break, it's kind of like things will calm down a little bit, ramp back up once again to March. But critical, not just the times they play. Traffic, they're a game below 500.
Yeah.
They still got two against.
No, they've only played 43
two against
games.
The Suns, three against the Warriors, three against the Jazz. I mean.
It's not
see
good.
What the hell happens.
You know, we said it earlier, and it just really kind of landed heavy today. They haven't beaten a good team all year.
No, they haven't. They don't have a signature win.
That's a really bad look. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance is proud to support vets with its annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, now celebrating 9 years of donating vehicles, helping vets in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. Let's slide a quick phone call in here, Al. Let's go to El Segundo and Jacob. Jacob, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I have 2 points. First, are we really worried about the Cardinals? I mean, with Kyler Murray, first year playoff, you know, Cliff Kingsbury, I think they're going to struggle. Also, second point, can we compare Matt Stafford to Russell Westbrook? You know, turnover prone. You know, they go as he goes. Aaron Donald is the LeBron James, but, you know, it's really on Matthew Stafford.
Appreciate you calling in. This is where I'd push back, Trav. At least for me, when – Russell Westbrook came to the Lakers, I by no means did he think, hey, this guy's – remember we've kind of given this example, who eats first?
Mm-hmm.
LeBron, you go up to the table first. Okay, what do you like? You get the first piece. Get the best piece of steak that's there. You pick it out. AD's right behind him. Hey, let me make sure that I get my serving in. And then Russ eats third. Matt Stafford is so critical to the Rams. I mean, you said this earlier, that if the guy just has a game tonight where he doesn't throw for an interception, no fumbles lost, and he ends up with – 2 touchdowns, 300 yards. Explain to me how the Rams end up losing this game.
I don't think they do.
But if he throws for 2 touchdowns and also has 2 picks, now we're having a conversation of in the fourth quarter, it's anybody's game. And that seems – and I'm not saying that you can't have a comp similar to that with Russell Westbrook because of his turnovers and everything else. But I think there's more on the shoulders of Stafford than there is on Westbrook.
I do too. Look, Westbrook's not the best player on the Lakers. He's not. The best player on the Lakers is LeBron James. So he's the most important piece. But the quarterback, it's impossible to compare a quarterback to someone else. I get what he's saying, right? That if you don't turn it over, you got a better. I get it.
And saying Aaron Donald is LeBron. Right. And, you know,
Aaron
get
Donald's
it.
Their best player. I understand that. But the quarterback is the quarterback is the point guard and the head coach and the center. They're all of those things all at the same time. Something he said about, does Kyler Murray really worry you? Yeah, he does. Okay, here's the – well, the Rams are at home. Okay, let me just give you a couple of numbers here. I did my Rams prep this morning, Al. I'm ready to go. The Rams are 5-3 at home. Okay. Cardinals are 8-1 on the road.
Okay. And one of those wins?
In L.A.
SoFi.
Right? At SoFi Stadium. So the home field advantage, I mean, I guess you'd rather have it than not have it. I don't think it's going to make a bunch of – look, if the Rams get rolling and it gets loud, sure, it can have an impact. But I don't think that the Cardinals coming in here saying, oh, we got to go on the road. The only road game they lost, oddly, was in Detroit, of all places. I mean, so go figure. Kyler Murray's really good. The problem is you get two different versions of that dude. We saw the best version of him in week 4 when they beat the Rams 37-20. He ran circles around the Rams.
Yep. Then didn't have a turnover.
No, he was great. And then the last game in week 14 when the Rams were shorthanded, Aaron Donald was terrorizing him. So, he threw two picks. He's a worrisome guy. He's one of those guys that can make something happen off schedule, which really worries me. For instance, as great as Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are, you kind of know what they're going to do, right? They're going to sit back there and they're going to pick you apart. And if you can make them uncomfortable back there, you got a shot. It's not the same with him. If you're asking me, would I rather play Kyler Murray or Tom Brady? Of course I'd rather play Kyler Murray. But you can flush him out. You can think, we're going to get a sack for a 10-yard loss, and it's a 30-yard gain. Those other guys don't really have that element. I feel much better about the Rams when they don't have that wild card, whether it's Debo, whether it's Kyler Murray, when it's just kind of straight up, when it's more of a traditional matchup the way it would be against Tampa, I like that a lot more. And that's why I think it got very interesting yesterday, Alex, what we've been talking about for a little bit, is San Francisco did the Rams a huge favor yesterday by clipping the Cowboys. Now, all of a sudden, they get to go to Green Bay, which, by the way, they can beat Green Bay. They played earlier this year, came down on a last-second field goal. The Packers won the game, but it was a close game. I like the Rams against the Tampa Bay Bucks. That was a game where the Rams felt like they were in complete control of that game the entire afternoon. The matchups all of a sudden now have gotten very favorable for the Rams. One afternoon, one game goes one way, and all of a sudden that path to the Super Bowl, well, maybe not easy, it's easier than it was yesterday.
I think maybe that's the best way to put it, because I don't think it's easy at all. I think that game, first of all, I think tonight, and I mentioned this when we were talking, we're doing our pick-ems last week, this is a good game. This is not a, I get what the caller was saying. I forget his name right off the top of my head.
Jacob.
Jacob, I get what he's saying that, oh, no, they just got to run through Arizona. This is a better team. All Arizona has to do is have one good game. All Matt Stafford has to do is throw a pick in a critical situation, which we've seen happen before, that can dictate the game. You're right, San Francisco did help the Rams yesterday. They did, no question about it. If you can avoid the Packers and Lambeau an extra week, that's 100%. But the path to get to the Super Bowl is still going to be, if it just breaks the way it does, you got to beat Arizona, a team that you've gone 1-1 against this year, and anything could happen in a game like this. Then you got to go beat the defending Super Bowl champions.
Which
you did beat them
done.
Earlier this year.
Yep.
You did beat them, but I think facing them in week three obviously is going to be much different.
Sure.
The Bucks know, I guess the best way to put it, to pace themselves as the season progresses. And then you got to go to Lambeau after that. So it's a perfect indication. You got to be the best. You got to beat the best.
Let me
and
ask
that's
you
what
this.
They're going to get.
This is crazy, and I'd be very curious what Rams fans think about this. 877-710-ESPN. I'm going to do something that Sean McVay would slap my face for even suggesting.
Okay,
that every Rams player would say, what in the world is the matter with you? But let's play this out. Mm-hmm. In an NFC championship situation, they got to win two games to even get there. Would you rather play Green Bay or San Francisco? It's not as easy as it sounds, is it? Would you rather play Green Bay or San Francisco in an NFC championship situation? I want that Rams fans, let us know what you think. 877-710-ESPN. And speaking of scores, Al, the Lakers – there's this other half of the court when you don't have the ball that they should probably try to do a little bit better with. I'll give you some numbers that are going to really bum you out. That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.